catfish got no scale.
Catfish got no scale.
Everybody knows that cotton comes in bales.
Cotton comes in bales.
The Mississippi River, deep and muddy stream. I just sat on the bank and fish while I dream. I just said,
with your Mayo Clinic Radio Health Minute.
For the Carol Cox Show right here at K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
And good morning. Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. Hey, a lovely day here. And a little overcast, but who's complaining? Not I, says the guy with the microphone. Anyway, there's quite a bit I want to talk about and want to share with many of you out there. This is something that's always presenting itself in the form of a question. And for some reason, over the years, many of you out there, and you take this thing called environmentalism as being a weird aspect of life, a weird science. And I thought, well, before I want to share with you some insight where the actual thing called environmentalism actually, or the environment, has a role in your life, whether you know it or not, whether you accept it or not, whether you are one of those people who get on your yacht and go off and fish for the big fish, or whether you have nothing and you're just struggling to make ends meet. The environment dictates the majority of the lives here in the state of Hawaii and in the world, actually. But we'll talk about the little bit of Honolulu and in the state of Hawaii, how it affects you. So when we hear there was some illegal dumping, or when you hear the city and county of Honolulu is going to put an H-power plant up, or wastewater treatment plant, and then you see over there in the far end of the corner, There's a couple guys with long hair, strange looking, granola and Birkenstocks on, and saying, save our planet, save our planet. And then they get dismissed as being radicals and what have you. But let me bring you up to snuff and kind of pull your coattail and say to you, when you see that, you should be more concerned than they are. Because while they may be philosophically motivated, as we are, and say that it's just one's belief. So let's just take the H power plant. Well, it burns trash. So you hear the environmentalists say, well, we object to that. That's just crazy. It's not good for the environment. You may dismiss that as being more radicalism. But let's go back and see where your involvement and how, if you don't believe that the clean air, the clean water, and being able to your kids to play in the dirt without getting sick or ill from contaminants, let's look at it this way. At the end of each month, or depending on the billing cycle, you get taxed for the structure or the proposed structure or the building or the siting of the H power. You pay big taxes. And again, that H power is sited there and placed there. And you might say become dismissive because the environmentalists were involved. But that H power plant actually has to operate on conditions that's consistent with environmental standards by federal law. You see where I'm going with this? And so I've often chuckled and said, well, you know, it's an interesting thing that we humans are able to just look at something and split the hairs and dismiss it as if there's no relevance to us, but the idiot out there standing in the rain with cardboard signs is just aloof and crazy, when in fact the person that likely to be impacted immediately is you. So when the sewage, when we talk about sewage and we say from an environmental standpoint, you probably dismiss us. But at the end of the day, you get a bill attached to your water bill for sewage disposal. You follow. So I guess they say a fool and his money will soon part or something like that. But I'm not saying that those that don't believe in environmentalism or dismiss it, I'm saying maybe you should take note, and if nothing else, you may not agree with the environmentalist objection, but you should know that when a structure is placed. So let's go back to the, and we're going to talk deeply about the H power. I believe that there is a something that confirms what I've stated all along. One of the top polluters in the state of Hawaii is the city and county of Honolulu. One of the largest polluters is the city and county of Honolulu. And rarely do you hear the current mayor even pronounce the word environment. So this is not a pick on him, but I want to share with you and show you why you should be just as feverish or crazy or bent in showing interest in the environment as the guy with the Birkenstocks on and the Rastafarian hairdo, or with the cardboard with painted in lipstick saying no more sewage treatment plant, no more H power. Now there's somebody there, I guess it's one of those activists out there waiting to call, but let me catch my breath and gather my thoughts, and then we'll talk if you're inclined to be patient. So what happens is that many of you, and I'm saddened when I hear some of you are so eloquent in speaking out against those dumbass environmentalists, as you say. And I say, No, they would be the equivalent of a canary in the cave. Because what's to come is crazy. You take Sand Island Wastewater Treatment Plant. You see the environmentalists balk at that. Why should you be concerned? Because just as an example, in 1978 or 76, somewhere in there, the city approached the EPA in seeking authority to burn fecal matter. They call it sludge, a wastewater treatment plant sludge, but I wish I could call it what it was, but we won't because we're on air and we'll be a little decent. But it's not sludge, folks. You know it when you see it. So we spent some $35 million to build a big egg and to dewater this crap. Your crap, my crap, everybody's crap. So we spent that money, and then we paid to upkeep it and paid the contractor to monitor and manage it. And under the pretenses that it was going to be dried, pelletized, and we were going to sell it, and man, we were going to be basking in the profits from this you-know-what, the sale of you-know-what. But, you know, what you saw, and you were quick to dismiss it, if some of you recall, that when the environmentalists were saying nonsense, crazy, stupid stuff that you're proposing, don't do that, it's going to cost it. And some of you said, well, there they go again. Well, you, the taxpayer, while being dismissive and saying, there they go again, those environmentalists, you ate the bill for $35 million. No pelletization that was worth a profit that came out of that. So they needed a third boiler at H Power because they couldn't burn all the trash, but they didn't tell you they were eager to burn fecal matter in that. And this area is sited down by the ocean, and you heard the environmentalist says, it's too close to the ocean. And many of you said, why don't you guys go away with this environmental stuff? So God only knows how many hundreds of millions of dollars have been spent at the wastewater treatment plant, or how many have been spent, how many millions have been spent at H Power, and you, the taxpayer, dismissed it all and bought hook, line, and sinker what was being said, and you in turn are still paying through your nose. But you are quick to judge and assault or sell the environmentalists. Isn't that funny? So we look at the H Power. I talked about it a while back, just a couple of weeks, and continuously we'll talk about it because I believe this is the greatest illustration that affords us equal insight, front row seats. Now, in my research on this, in this vein, I wanted to know about all the things that go on in H Power. And why is it that we're spending a lot of money? Now, there's this theory that we're providing some 5% of the electrical needs for the city and county of Honolulu by generating electricity at the H Power plant where they burn trash. Now, some call it municipal solid waste, but it's trash. And there's waste oil being burned. There's car scrap, ASR, being proposed and have been burned. There's filters from water treatment plants and other places being burned. TVs and refrigerators and you name it being burnt. And it's called H Power, trash to power. So you know that they give us 5%. That's the claim in some instances. But what you don't know is how many millions do we really spend to get the 5% of the electricity that is produced, supposedly produced. in any given time, there's a debate. Well, does HECO pay peak hours? Do we sell it to the peak hour? Do they buy everything we have, or do we generate? So H-Power, they're taking in the money. Covanta is a company. Honolulu Recovery, Resource Recovery, is the people who contract and run it. And the city and county ride shotgun to keep the front door closed and locked and ignore you, the taxpayer, the environmentalist, as well as the regulatory body, or as well as its sister agencies, not wanting to abide by the law because, see, they got a game going on. The city got a game going on. They get to get rid of their trash. They get to charge you in taxes at the mailbox for trash services, and you don't know that they're not inclined to do much recycling, but we have an office of recycling. Again, the taxpayer, remember the guy with the granola bars and the Birkenstocks on and the cardboard sign standing in the rain saying, this is not good for the environment, and you dismiss it. But again, and I'm not scolding you. I'm simply saying I want to pull your coattail and tell you why you should see and suggest to you, you still may have jaundiced eyes, a view of environmentalism, but at least it should provoke you into asking the hard questions of the mayor and ask him why would he appoint a director who is about as lame as a car with four flat tires, going nowhere, just revving up the engine, making noise. But when it comes to sound environmental management, when it comes to sound management of the people's money and the taxpayers and preventing, protecting the environment and preventing hardship on people like the senior citizens who struggle to eke out a living on their pensions and who bought their houses a long time ago and in turn struggling to pay all of these fees, the sewer fees and the trash fees and the road fees and the weight taxes and what have you. So, again, I wanted to go really dumpster diving. And some say I dumpster dive often, and I think I'm so proud of that. And you come out with a smell. You don't smell great, but who cares? It's a stinky subject anyway. But this was 1976 where the EPA was consulted on drying and burning sludge of human fecal matter. But you heard me tell you about this EPA consent decree with the city and county of Honolulu now, where they're going to spend $16 million, your tax dollars, and probably in that process going to deprive that environmentalist of a piece of cardboard and a granola bar. But they're still on target, and you're reaching in your pocket to pay more money, not even being consulted. You just receive the bill, like Pavlov's dog. You put it out there, and you come salivating, licking the envelope, and sticking the money back in the mail and sending it to them. Because you're going to pay your taxes, whether you want to or not. So what happens is that the EPA, God bless their soul, and I'm going to tell you something. I try to be level-headed, and I hear often that some of the Republicans and some on the left have also said, get rid of the EPA, it's top-heavy. The more I review things and the more I see things, I believe that we should, at a minimum, reduce the staff drastically, because it's just a circle jerk. And it's just, be more polite, it's just a bunch of jerks running around playing games with our lives, with our environment, with the quality of life, costing us an arm and a leg, because when they issue a fine, that money doesn't come out of the thin air. It comes out of the taxpayer's budget somewhere. And if we shift $16 million over here to satisfy the EPA's ruling, that $16 million came out of someone's pocket, you the taxpayer, or some project that's still funded by the taxpayer, or fees and what have you. So The EPA, I believe, this is a clear example where they just should be banished from the island of Hawaii. They do nothing. They cripple the entire effort. They mask what it is that they call environmental protection. Yeah, they got great laws and they got consultants and all, but when you look at the stupid stuff that they do and the nonsense, so they require the city and county to build a $16 million facility. Then they top that, as I've said, an $875,000 penalty. And there's a letter that I scanned in, and I'll get it recovered later from my files, where the EPA was complimenting them on their facility at H-Power. And so there are a couple things when you get this building up, and this building is going to house photovoltaic panels that's going to generate more power. But in the EPA says that it's going to be for houses and some use for the running of the plant. Okay, so are we going to save any money on that, or is the real money coming in the tonnage? You see, that's the other aspect of this that I think is crazy, where we, the public, is being jerked around. And that is, you see, every time you see a private hauler hauling trash to H-Power, you know that, should know, that private hauler, if it's a 20-ton truck loaded with 20 tons, then the city and county charges, I think, $95, between $90, $95, $97. It may have gone up, who knows. And per ton. So if that person goes there with five truckloads, you know the math. So there's money in this burning of trash. But they present it to you and I as if it's a green machine. It's working toward a sustainable energy, renewable energy by burning the trash. But what they don't tell you, even in the burning of trash at this green facility, so-called green facility that they present it as, they're using fuel oil, for example, to fire the furnaces. And we'll call it furnace or boilers interchangeably, whatever. So they're about 900 ton a day they can burn. But they use fuel oil. We'll call it diesel or whatever you want to call it. The recent one that we covered was Aloha Petroleum was the provider. So in one boiler was using, in 1 month, a report, 78,000 gallons to burn. So we are on the backs of HECO saying, well, you know, if you're running and generating power, you should be using renewable and reused oil and cooking oil and, you know, recycle oil or palm oil. Well, this green facility, folks, the records say that they have dabbled with cooking oil, but in recent years, not much cooking oil been used, not much recycled oil been used. So, the so-called green facility called the H-Power, we've all been duped and still being duped. And I will go further and share with you specifics of why I have such an attitude that I do and why I speak with such bite, hopefully, and it might be offensive, but enough is enough. And so I was able to recover a letter from files held within the state and some emails. And here is it. It's dated September 8th, 2015, to the infamous Lori M.K. Kahikina, P.E., Director, Department of Environmental Services. Attention, Manuel Lanuevo, P.E., A.P.L.E.E.D. Great titles, guys. I mean, like an alphabet soup of geniuses. But it's from Ernest Lau. And you know, we've had some tugs with Ernest Lau and all, but let me just submit this. There is definitely an honest streak in Ernest Lau, more noticeable than not, and more noticeable than many of the people that work for government. Remember, he's the one that's standing out there telling you there's contaminants in the drinking water. Now, Navy, you need to be held accountable. State, you need to get your act together. In this case, now, he didn't go out and beat the wagon and wait, but Ernest Lau wrote this letter and subject draft environmental assessment on building for supplemental environmental project at H-Power. Thank you for the opportunity to review the comment on the draft environmental assessment for the H-Power environmental project. We have the following comments. The existing water system, now listen to this now. This is Laura Kahakina, who's the head of this agency, appointed by Mayor Caldwell. And you see, there are supposed to be safety concerns at H-Power and certain green actions and activities that reduce the impact on the environment. Ernest Lau goes on to state in item one, the existing water system cannot provide adequate fire protection to accommodate the proposed development. The Board of Water Supply water system standards require a fire hydrant to be located within 125 linear feet of the property and provide a fire flow of 4,000 gallons per minute for the industrial developments. The nearest fire hydrant L4256 is located approximately 10 feet from the property. However, it can only supply a flow of 3,400 gallons per minute. Now, okay, Laura Carkina, you can add. The requirement is 4,000 gallons per minute. Your pipes only pump out 3,400 gallons per minute. Therefore, the developer will be required to install the necessary water system improvements to provide adequate fire protection in accordance with our water system standards. In response now, this mayor and this Kahakina are just absolutely rogue. I mean, they're on the loose and they're uncontrolled and hiding and keeping things, keeping the wool over your eyes. In response to council resolution, Ernest Lau goes on to say, resolution 606-329, supporting the use of recycled water for industrial uses at the city's H-Power facility, and in accordance with BWS rules and regulations 1-112, non-potable water, recycled water should be utilized in lieu of potable water for non-potable purposes. The Board of Water Supply recycled water system is located within an easement between the proposed H-Power environmental project site and the H-Power facility. Now, you think, what's the big deal? Well, apparently, either the city Board of Water Supply provides fresh water, drinking water, and H-Power is using that good water to run its cooling tower inside of its cooling tower, and that water has to be demineralized to keep it from harming the turbines. So why would they not? And this is a resolution, the City Council resolution, 06-329, mandating the use of potable water, or non-potable water, or recycled water from the Honolulu wastewater recycling plant. Reverse osmosis. So that's one giant measure. So you, the taxpayer, remember that environmentalist standing there chewing on his granola bar? You, the taxpayer, make fun of him, dismiss him, and go get in bed with the mayor and then go to the mailbox and he sticks you again. They charge you again. They tax you. You're paying more taxes because they're paying for good water, water that is being drinking, a valuable resource now, you know, not that much. We can't be so loose with it. And they are burning trash. And in their system, they're taking good drinking water, potable water, and heating it up to drive steam. So let's get this right. They're buying fuel oil to burn the trash. And then there's that RDF, residue-derived fuel, that they actually, some of the fuel tires, and they cut them up and burn them, too. And so they'll say, well, no, Mr. Cox is wrong, because, well, they probably won't even say Mr., you know, but something's wrong here. He's not right, because we use trash to make steam. Yeah, you do, but you also spend taxpayers' dollars. And at one time, how much was fuel oil number two? I don't know, $2, $3. So one boiler for a period of time, 78,000 gallons is an example. And then boiler two, and now you got boiler three. So is it green? So they're using drinking water when they could and should be, by mandate, by resolution, city council resolution, that they should be using recycled water. But no, they're not doing that. So he goes on to say, Ernest Lau goes on to say to Kaikina, we remind Environmental Services that Covanta, the H-Power contractor, has not fulfilled a previous board of water supply requirement to utilize RO, demineralized recycled water associated with H-Power, third boiler project to replace the use of potable water for boiler feed. Since Covanta has not been responsive to our attempts at a resolution to our recycled water requirement, it will be difficult for Board of Water Supply to approve any further building permits for water services to these facilities. The availability of potable water will be reconfirmed when the building application is submitted for approval. However, please be advised that this information is based upon current data, and therefore the Board of Water Supply reserves the right to change any position or information stated herein up until the final approval of the building permit application. The availability of recycled water for H-Power development will be confirmed when a recycled water service agreement is executed. When water is made available, the applicant will be required to pay our water system facilities charges for resource development, transmission, and daily storage. Construction drawings should be submitted for our review, and the construction schedule should be coordinated to minimize impact on the water system. The on-site fire protection requirements should be coordinated with the Fire Prevention Bureau of the Honolulu Fire Department. The proposed project is subject to Board of Water Supply cross-connection control and backflow prevention requirement prior to the issuance of the building permit. Now, I can't tell you, but how is it that a city agency could ignore the rules of the road and still go ahead, and the EPA now, boasting, complimenting them how great this facility is? And if you read some of the daily reports or monthly reports of leaks or emissions exceeding the allowable levels of carbon monoxide and other gases at the plant from the burning of the trash, you'd ask yourself, who are these people in the EPA? Well, these people in the EPA are the casual elitists who just hang out, and you know that they entered into this consent decree. Now, unless the state health department is just complete liars, they represent that they weren't consulted on this consent decree. They weren't anything. There's no army of EPA people to make sure that they adhere to it, the conditions of the consent decree. So why would, in fact, the EPA not involve and bring in, unless the state is lying to me, but they indicate that they were not. So there's a gentleman there regarding the DEA draft environmental assessment that works for the is Ahmad Sadri is his name, and he's writing and repeating the same things in his review from the Department of Planning and what have you. He's saying, here are the response letters from the draft EA for the solar building, including an email from DPP. I skimmed through them, and one from Board of Water Supply, and he basically saying it's the same thing that I just read to you. So how is it that we could spend millions, probably $1 billion, in this facility to get so-called a green operation? 524-1080 is the number. Caller, good morning. Go ahead for your comments.
Oh, I am, Carol. Listen, tell me, what do they do with the doo-doo? I'll use the word doo-doo. What is the process? Where does it end up? I'm really curious. I always kind of wondered about that.
Well, I was trying to explain to you. It's being dewatered and taken to the H power plant and burned now. To generate electricity. So,
what happens to all the ashes?
The ashes, they transport the ashes to the landfill. You see, because remember now, this is a green operation. This is environmentally sound. This is sustainable. This is consistent with all the other BS that the mayor and the governor and everybody pump out there. It's just an antiquated caveman behavior of burning trash and wanting to not recycle.
Well, but, I mean, the toxics from that ash must be unbelievable.
Well, you know, we know that there's lead and arsenic and everything else, and human beings, when we defecate, we pass on the antibiotics, and who knows? You know, hydrogen sulfide is generated. Who knows? But again, you see, it's down there at Barbara's Point. It's ran by and controlled by Laura Carquina and her group of her entourage and the EPA and the State Health Department, because, you see, in their feverish thoughts, they think that they're doing the taxpayer a favor when they introduce dysfunctional facilities and facilities that are purported to be green, and they're not green.
Have they ever come up with the new landfill? This landfill pretty much, they don't have many years left on it, right? The one...
in theory, there weren't many years left. But remember, you're dealing with a system that is complementing one another. You know, you have one guy with his hand in your right pocket, and the other guy hand in your left pocket.
Yeah.
And then you got EPA got your hand in the back pocket. So it's a hooey of a jerk, and that's what you're getting. You know, what if the company said that we can process this pellets, this sewage in the pellets and sell it and use it on golf courses and lawns, then did we get our money back from that, for that failure?
Oh, my goodness.
No, what happened was Carlisle came along and said, let's do another facility like this for $26 million. We got a little discount on it, but the council voted down. Hold on. Yeah. Paula, go ahead with your comment or question. Good morning.
I love to hear you talk on the water and trash and sewage, because of the resource that we have.
What is that now? You barely hear you. You're faint. Hold on. Dave, I'm going to see if I can...
Yeah.
Try again now. Maybe the line was bleeding. No, I can't hear you. Okay, sorry about that, folks. It just barely can hear one word at a intermittent. So this thing called environmentalism is some of you should appreciate it, and others you probably wouldn't care, and you probably just stuck on wanting to be divided. But conquered you are, because they've already divided you. And when, in fact, I offer this because I want to say to many of you out there that don't be so dismissive. There's good to everything, and maybe you should embrace, if not all things, because we environmentalists can have some weird things. I mean, I can walk through the woods and the trees will tell me certain things, you know. And and the birds will say certain things. And I came back and tried to convey that to you, that same message, and you'd look at me like I have mental problems. And I understand that. But see if you can discern and learn to embrace or accept some, not all. Because, you know, you probably want to eat steak and eggs for breakfast, and granola just ain't going to do you. And that's understood. But there is a big, big lie being advanced here about this H-Power facility. And for the EPA, now, I've shown you the EPA. They're not using recycled water. And the EPA comes along and tells them, well, build this building, and we'll then generate electricity. So my question now is, with these new developments at HECO and with the PUC, will the city and county of Honolulu be issued or a license or what is required, a permit to take that light or power that they're generating and sell it to HECO, or will it be exempted? I'm going to try and pursue this, but it seems like that this so-called green building that they are developing is not consistent with being green, and it won't complement anything. I think it was a farce. Caller, go ahead with your comment or question.
Hi, Carol, again. Listen, continue where you left off. I'm just really curious how this whole operation works. I mean, how much do they recycle or how much do they burn? I mean, how much of, you put your green stuff out and then you put your paper and bottles and all cans and all that. And then that blue container? And then you have the regular trash. And how much of that do they burn? How much of it do they recycle? I figure this is a really serious thing. We're just this island, you know? Mm-hmm. We can't just continue the status quo on this kind of stuff for years.
Imagine the water that is used to cool or to generate, to drive the turbines. Where does that water discharge to?
Those, I guess.
into, right? It doesn't,
yeah.
They generate a lot of water. And each day, right?
Yeah.
And they must make sure that water is mineralized, demineralized, so that when it is introduced into the ocean, right?
Right.
So just to give you an example, and this one is stating, these are records at issuance date of the permit for that was the boiler fuel consumption. And just in 1 year, they report 5,000 gallons of fuel oil, number two. Then specification used oil, zero, right? Maximum auxiliary fuel firing rate, 813 gallons. So in January, they had fuel oil number two, 5,625, 1,724 for February, March, 8,494, and it goes on, right? Thousands and thousands of gallons of oil being used to burn to burn trash, and then that residue a few, right?
Yeah. Oh, and back to the doo-doo.
Yeah.
What do they do if they have that thing that makes them into pellets, right?
That was at Sand Island. That supposedly in theory. But now, remember, before that, there was another facility there, a process that was never used, and I think they spent, I don't have the numbers in front of me, but I do know that it was in excess of $20, $30 million, and they just tore it down because it was not being used. And then they were, they built a tank at Wahiwa, for example, to store there so that they could then come and back a truck up and take it and dump it. But remember, it was going to the landfill and bury it out there. So, you know,
this raw doo-doo. It was in the
when you say raw, I mean I don't know when they will be ripened, but.
They didn't burn it, but now this is what they do is they're all burning it, all that they're burning all that.
Well, they're burning it.
Well, first you have to dry those stuff, right?
Well, dewater it, they say, and
oh, wait, would you squish it out or
I don't know. I'm not a fecologist.
I'm just kidding. This whole operation. I mean, it seems.
No. Remember, I'm the radio host who they say don't know you know what. So I can't give you any insight. I can't give you any insight on as to how they handle it because I don't know. But the point is, it's going. We're moving it around, and what I'm trying to emphasize is that what shameful practice. And it's just a money-making machine.
Oh, you got
people. We have recycling offices, and we have people in the recycling office, and they have Opala.org. But in the reality is, they're slipping it out the back door and burning it, and trying to burn anything and everything that they can. Because you see, keep in mind, if they take it to the landfill, they got to pay the management of the landfill a fee for operating, right?
Right.
But if they can take it to the landfill after they burn it, they get to keep the bulk of the money. But then, on the other hand, do they really get to keep the money? Because, you see, Covanta is authorized to get some large percentage of the processed materials and the operations that come through there. They're not doing it for free.
Yeah.
So how much... what I believe is happening is that it gives me the impression that it's the tail wagging the dog over there, and the city and county people, they're happy, and I believe that based on all of these things that are going on, and when I look at the records, I went back to 2006, and I think we scanned like 4,000, 5,000 documents, and there's a tolerance here. They got fined by the health department of $15,700 for violations. But again, if you read the list of violations, I must say, they don't call it violations now. They say deviations. So, in other words, it's a deviation from the daily reports, right?
Yeah.
You understand?
Well, you know, is the public allowed to, maybe take a tour of that? Well, because
they give you an Opala tour.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
But they'll show you just what they want you to see, right?
So I looked at some of the. This is the H Power Title Four, Title Five Air Permit Notification Requirement, Refuse Derived Fuel, in Unit Two. That's a boiler two. This was dated December 30th. Just a sample. This letter is to inform the Department of Health of four capacity exceedance, which resulted in a deviation from permit conditions as specified in section blah, blah, blah. So the date and time, they say, that was the December 27th, 2014, amount of 1,148 parts per million or part. And that's exceeding, the deviation was 13%. The actual allowable permitted rate is 10%. So you understand?
Yeah,
and there's letter after letter.
I'm kind of curious as how the sewer treatment they take and then they pull the water into the ocean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They go out about half a mile out off Sand Island, right?
Well, that's Sand Island, a mile. They say the outfall is a mile.
But how pure is that water? I mean, how. Is it and I mean, what kind of damage is that doing to the sea life? I mean, is it that pure?
Well, we're going to talk about that in the next hour, actually.
Oh, okay. I'll listen.
And its effects. But when you say, is it pure? I don't think it. One would have to ask if they're burning. The water is just heated by the firing of it. I don't think the fecal matter enters into that. Hold on. Call a good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Yo, what's up, Carol Cox?
Not much. You got any? What do you got to talk about?
I wanted to say hello, you know?
Okay, well, good morning, hello, and I... All righty. You know, Dave, I wish I had an antibody for such a, you know, everybody's welcome to call.
I see what... The idea is they tell you they're all doing a wonderful job of recycling and all that kind of stuff. But can I actually tell you, you know about this? You know, how much, like, you know, you get washing machines and store, you know, appliances that are you know, picked up, bulk pick up, and do they really recycle those things, or what do they do?
They're looking to, at this plant, they want to recycle refrigerators, and because they want the entrails from the refrigerators, they want to capture the gas, they say, but they don't have the expertise on, they already have a contract with a person in a company, and the city has been trying to screw that company around. But the reality is that they're saying in some of the documents we receive, they want to burn the plastics and the rubbers that is found in the refrigerators as fuel to generate electricity. Now, on the other hand, EPA is saying, here, build this building, spend $16 million with photovoltaic and generate more electricity. So it's like, okay, here's a bottle of whiskey and here's a gun. Go have fun. Right? It don't make sense, and that's why my comments stand. I don't want to be foul-mouthed about an agency, but I'm beginning to understand what many of the Republicans are saying. This is ludicrous. It's crazy.
Oh, yeah. Well, it just seems like...
Millions. And we can protect the environment without the lies and the layering of cover-up and, you know, they walk away and says, well, oh, the H-Power, the EPA says, oh, we got a beautiful environmental building over there. And reality is underneath there's all kinds of cronyism and nonsense and what have you. So,
could I ask you one other little thing?
Well, I'm going to have to.
You got the emissions from the H-Power plant, right?
Right.
I mean, how do they deal with that? I mean,
well, they're the same. That's what I was telling you. When they say the exceedance, there's supposed to be lime sprayed on the around the burners to a slurry to reduce the emissions and what have you. But there's violation after violation after violation, and they
right.
Were, so we're going to come back and talk about cats and fecal matter and plasmotoxmosis and all of that and more lies and you know and more hiding of failed government practices.
Well, you know, the thing is, this is really important because we can't keep on going.
Oh, yes, we can in their eyes.
Well, yeah, we can't sustain like this. Without this, totally.
Hey, brother.
We have to change the whole way we do
that's
this.
That's why I said, you know, I'm not pitting the environmentalists against the taxpayer. I'm just saying you can know that our government is functioning in an IOU, and the IOU is being generated by you. You owe them because they're going to build projects and practices that are costly and not green and not friendly to the environment. So we'll be back shortly.
Yeah. Very interesting.
All right. All right. Thank you for joining, and we'll be back shortly. This is the Carol Cox Show.
Would you take the wings from a bird, knowing he can't fly? Would you take the bars from a little bitty baby? And you know he's gonna cry. Oh, yeah. Would you take the fish out of the water? Knowing little fella's gonna die. Would you take the cane from a blind man? And you know he ain't got no eyes. take all the beats from a melody.
Stay tuned for the next half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu, K108. If you have questions or comments for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080. And now, here's Carol.
Yes, good morning. Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Second half, I just had to play that. That was Michael Jackson when the Jackson 5, It's Your Thing, Do What You Wanna Do. I can't tell you who to socket to, but we can focus on the city and county of Honolulu and the corruption and the underhandedness and the lying and the cheating and, oh, my God, we'll be busy for the rest of our lives on that one. But anyway, feel free, 524-1080 is the number. And you might want to catch me on Olelo, Channel 54 at various times. Today, there's one at 1 o'clock, each Sunday at 1 o'clock, Channel 54, talking about various issues in corruption in government and you name it. And please feel free to go online and Google Carol Cox or go to carolcox.com, and you can see the schedule there. We've produced about 30 shows, so just if you just want something to do, you know, want to see a horror movie, go there. And you can catch us live on Monday evening at 6 o'clock at the John Nolan Show. I'm a guest on there each Monday. And so feel free and give us the support there. And if you got any news stories or any ideas, or feel free to call in, 524-1080. But, you know, I've been reading, and I talked about it a couple of times, and over the years we've talked about it. And let me establish something so that I don't sound muddled and confuse you. There's cats, the domesticated cat. I want you to know clearly that I don't believe there should be a single cat in the wild. Period. That's deep down in my soul. Cats eat birds. Cats present a problem. That's it. So if you're confused about where I stand. But on the other hand, I participate with great commitment and love for trying to support and help people with the spay-neuter program. Because the agencies that are responsible, if you look in the newspapers and the TV, there's a couple stories, and I'm ashamed that I go and give stories to the TV stations, and then they come out and pull out some one-sided story about cats and fecal matter and toxoplasmosa, and, you know, and it's all about scare tactic. What I was disappointed in all of these news coverages. Fine, let the other side or the, quote, scientists speak. Let them tell you what they think. Let them tell, but don't become a tool or an implement to conceal their inability to manage and their unwillingness and their lying and cheating about things. Because we're going to talk specifically about the claim that the monk seal is being impacted by the fecal matter, toxoplasmosa, a parasite that is given off by the cats. And so I want to make it clear. And until I see an agency, the city and county of Honolulu spends several millions in a couple of years for animal control. We see them, though, the animal control organizations and the state agencies and the federal agency, uttering these words. The cat population on the west side has exploded. Well, where the hell were you while it was exploding? Who lit the fuse? Why did it light the fuse? How did we get that? You get money for this. So the news organizations that put these stories out need to regroup and go back and ask the specific questions, because it's never going to resolve anything. You can put 1,000 stories out there, but ultimately it's going to take a combined effort. There are people that spend days, weeks, thousands of dollars per month feeding cats, medicating them. When they go and get involved with the Humane Society or the state agencies, they're shunned, they're treated like they're the scum of the earth, like as if they're doing some disservice to humanity, when it's just the opposite. Now, mind you, someone said, well, you know, the colony has grown, so they must not be neutering them as they say. Well, I can tell you there's cat friends, and they neuter a lot of cats on the weekends and when they have schedule, and they've taken, and people working diligently, hard. And what do they get from the NOAA? What do they get from the biologists? What do they get from the DLNR? A stick up in the air saying, you know, this is a big stick. If you keep doing what you're doing, we're going to raise hell with you, or you're going to get arrested, or the police is going to arrest you. Don't do that. But on the other hand, what is the DLNR doing? Now, I'm privy to information that as soon as Suzanne Case got in, she met with Pam Burns of the Humane Society. Now, cats do eat birds. Cats do impact native species. But don't just look at the cat and go out and talk and then say, send money, we need more money, because they're not going to do anything, folks. They haven't done anything. They boast that they got millions of dollars at the end of the year. Alien species programs, they're focusing on certain areas in state lands and federal lands, but what about in the communities? And so monk seals are reportedly, and I've talked about this, where initially we wrote the NOAA people, Michael Tosato, and asked him specifics about a claim that monk seals were dying, or monk seal had been impacted and died from toxoplasmosis. And if you may recall, he didn't want to talk to me, and he said he wouldn't answer any questions. So I had to cajole him and pull at him and tug at him, badger him through going to Washington and saying, I need these questions answered. So there's a degree of dishonesty amongst those so-called environmentalists and so-called biologists. If we're going to address the problem of the presence of cats in the environment, don't use scare tactics and then go back and make millions on grants and you get to BS and play games, when the reality is there are people out there, they're not, the people that are feeding the cats, many of them that I've met, they're not feeding the cats so that they could have 1,000 cats and claim that they're theirs. They're trying to minimize the impact and the illnesses and the negative impacts on the environment. They do care as well. So if you're feeding them and you're medicating them and you don't have diseases, what other diseases that the biologists are overlooking that could be presented by cats? But I think it's a big lie, and I state that because how they have presented, have gone to, they being the DLNR, Suzanne Case, Humane Society, NOAA, and anybody else that think they're involved in the city and county of Honolulu, because they're putting money out there, but they're really, it's as if, let's go back and see what are the contributing factors. What are you doing to address those? Well, as harsh as this sounds, and may sound unjust, not civil, but we have one segment of the population that comes, move in, that are very mobile, and that is the military. And let's just speak turkey here now. If you're going to blame the monk seal's death on cats, and then turn around and say, but there's three elements here. It's the people who's feeding them and colony keepers who's presenting and sustaining them to end up overpopulating, and their fecal matter hits the ground and in turn washes down from the mountains and the bushes into the ocean, and then the monk seal comes along and grab it and ingest it or what have you. Okay. Keep that thought in mind. You're saying that the cat defecates in the bushes uphill. Never mind how he got there, because you're too scared or too lazy or too political to ask those questions, because you skirt sensitive issues. You don't ask the military, why on earth do you give people that come here that's going to stay 1 to 3 years and allow them to house and adopt cats? What happens to those cats when they leave? Well, Fluffy and Muffy and Tuffy ends up in the public garden, ends up in the park, because the officer, the person, they don't want to kill the animal. They don't want to take it in and give it to the Humane Society, because the Humane Society charges you in some instances. So you're not encouraged. So why not discourage the allowance or permitting people that are in transit to even have cats? Just saying now, if NOAA, those of you that want to fix this problem, reduce the threat of monk seals dying because of their ingesting oocytes of the parasite Toxoplasmosis. But an interesting thing, what my readings is that the cat is the one that is a host that they are able to sexually replicate themselves. But human beings can ingest Toxoplasmosis oocytes, and in turn it lives in them. Rats can. Pigs can. So does the pig ever defecate in the forest, in the woods? Does the bear, you know what, go to the bathroom in the woods? Well, how do you know that it's the monk seal who's ingesting the Toxoplasmosis from cats and not humans, not horses? Because you can eat infected meat that is not properly cooked and present a problem and ingest it. So the next question is, if a cat's fecal matter washes down from the mountains because of the rainwater and then the monk seal gets contaminated, and it's all about defecation. So if a human goes to the bathroom and flushes his toilet, and it goes to the power plant, and the power plant is not killing these bacteria or parasites, is the human beings contributing to the presence of Toxoplasmosis, as they purport? Is that Toxoplasmosis being ingested by the monk seal after, through the fact that other little fish and crustaceans and what have mollusks that the monk seal may ingest, passing it on to them? We pump millions of gallons of sewage water, and some of it is third-level treatment, some is first-rated treatment, but if you look at it, many of them have exceedance, and then not to mention the spills. Caller, good morning. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Good morning, Carol. I want to talk about the cat feces. I was going to call you and get your phone number and talk to you later about it, but...
Talk to me now, man.
Today. Hang out down at Planet Panic. I body surf a lot.
Uh-huh.
And I've had cellulitis, and a lot of people have had cellulitis over there from the cats.
From the cats?
The flies feed on the cat shit.
Okay.
And then if you have a little cut or whatever, the flies come right on your cut, and then it's infected.
Right.
I've had it 3 times myself.
Right. And so...
Why can't... I thought they were supposed to. The people who feed the cats, I'm sure they love them and everything, but... aren't they supposed to pick up the feces themselves if they feed them, clean up after the cat?
Well, yeah, all of that is true, and I agree with you, but here's the question. What are we going to do about the... I'm trying to get everybody to focus on the real problem. Because you can give everybody a box and a rubber glove and give everybody the swimmers a plastic suit, and they're protected, but then it's still, again, the cats are still there. How do you present... the government with the facts that if you want to control the cats, go back upstream and fix all of those problems, because if you don't, guess what? What's going to happen? They're going to still be there, right?
Well, you know what you need to do?
No, not me. This is a family discussion.
What they need to do is put them out.
Okay.
There's plain panic. Right in that little area, right when you come into the park,
uh-huh.
There's over 100 cats.
Okay.
And that's too many for that area.
Okay.
These people spend up towards $30,000 a year feeding these cats, you know.
Probably more.
Yeah.
Probably more. But again, that does not fix the problem. And you're focusing...
They cut down the problem a lot.
Yeah, but...
I heard there's 300,000 cats. Feral cats on this island.
Well, yeah, that's what they claim. There's 300,000. So here's the thing. You're concerned that you get bacteria and you get infected and all. So you're saying that, well, thin them out. So what if they left one cat and his fecal matter was overlooked? were not picked up, and you get the same. What I'm trying to suggest is that we need to go back and give a healthy discussion about exactly incorporate what you're saying. But right now, it's let's scare the people, and they get their grants and all, and guess what? So, you know, the old saying that has always been proposed to me. So you always talk about what's broken. What are you going to do to fix it? Well, here's the moment I get the occasion to ask that. What are they going to do to fix it?
Yeah.
Okay, they come out. Now, you haven't heard the cat people talking. You know the letters to the editor and the news stories. Where did those stories come from?
I heard the cat people have a lot of money backing behind them. We tried years ago to try to get rid of the cats and tried to bring a lawsuit against them.
Mm-hmm.
And couldn't fight them. They have too much money.
Well, I think maybe that sounds good, but I think also that's a misrepresentation. If they didn't have but a penny, you wouldn't be able to. How are you going to place ownership of anything when in fact, when the reality is that they have each cat there that you see,
mm-hmm.
majority of them, unless someone, you know, some surfers have dumped cats down there, right? Point Panic. I was set there about 2 years ago. I saw a couple of guys, and they had the surfboards and all, and in the box they had some cats, and then when everybody was there, they just released them. So, and you know that all those angles, so the issue is it's a problem. Nobody wants to get sick. I don't want to get sick. But what I'm speaking of, this problem has been festering, and like you say, you wanted to sue them. But suing someone, and the cats are, majority of them that you see there in a colony that is being managed, the majority of them are chipped.
Improperly managed.
Well, no, I mean, I'm not, don't take issue with me. I'm having a healthy discussion. I mean, this is why I'd never get fixed, because you guys are pissed at them, and they're just like, well, okay. We'll walk away, and then if they walked away today, how soon do you think the government will respond?
I have no idea.
And their cysts can lay in their eggs can lay in the toxoplasmosis up to a year or more.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think that when you say that they were going to fight you, no, I think when you lay out the evidence and all of that, it's not going to take you anywhere. It's just that we need to work together. We need the city and county of Honolulu to make sure that their animal control contracts are served properly.
Who's in charge of that? The health department?
No. That's a separate entity. The health department has a vector control, right?
Uh-huh.
How many people, you remember they were bragging? How many people?
They stopped anyway.
Well, you know, where's the importance? So what you get is a clan of people who go, well, let's do this. Let's go out there. And when the last time you've seen a person from or the Alien Species Task Force? Have you ever seen them down there at Point Panic?
Alien Species?
Yeah, the Alien Species Task Force. The ones who get millions to kill the cats and kill the rats and the bats.
Nope, never have seen them.
You see, so there's money being thrown out there. So what we see is that all these evil cat people. But in reality, what you see on TV is these evil people who are just exacerbating the matter by not sitting down. These are human beings. Many of those, they're veterinarians that feed. There are doctors that feed.
Yep.
There are nurses that feed. There are psychologists and you know, and many, many people at various levels of whatever rankings and stature in the community. Can they all be wrong or... Yeah, I think that what you're saying, it's... No, I don't want to get any kind of disease or parasite from that, and it's definitely true what you're saying.
Uh-huh.
But how do we fix it rather than looking at and going out and says, well, you know, the cat, defecate on the sidewalk or in the bushes and the rain washes his down, but the human beings, we won't say anything about that because that's sewage and we don't want to offend another agency. Huh?
Yeah, that's why I called you. I thought you could take care of it, but it sounds like you're on the cat people side.
No, you see, I'm not on either side. I'm trying to bring...
We need some help over there.
Well, okay.
I called.
All right, well, sorry your interpretation. I think that...
Well, can you at least look into it for us?
Well, that's what I'm doing now. I'm trying to say to everybody,
mm-hmm.
ask... And who's going to go down and catch them all and slaughter them? You want to do that? You want to do that? I mean, you know...
Yeah, I would do that. I'd volunteer to do that.
But who are you going to take them to?
Probably the Humane Society.
And then are you going to get them to waive the fee for you bringing them in?
I mean, maybe the state got to work with me, too.
But I'm saying, no, I'm just...
Volunteer.
I guess I'm just asking this to share with you in a sense of saying to you, here the how encumbered or how the obstructions are. When a person wanting to pick up a cat, let me just explain to you so you fully understand when you say, and it, you know, everybody's entitled to that, your conclusion that I'm on the cat side. I'm just, no, here's the problems that present themselves. So if you and I wanted to go down and trap a cat today,
yep.
Where do we get the traps from?
Humane Society?
Right. So we got to go down there and sign one out if one is available and then give our license and all and then I think a $50 deposit or something. Okay?
Okay.
We got that.
Yep.
Now, we're going to take it down there. Do they euthanize an animal or do they adopt it out?
I'm not sure. I know they... They'd rather adopt them out if they could.
Right, but what if it's not, quote, adoptable according to their standards?
Right, a fail.
And now who's going to pay for the euthanization?
The state.
Well, it ain't happening. You will pay for it. And there is also a law, because they are chipped,
mm-hmm.
that belongs to someone. So can you take someone's animal and kill it?
Can I relocate it?
Well, then what are you doing?
No, somebody else's problem.
No, no, I'm saying to you, this is why I'm annoyed, because clearly it's a problem, and the cat people are out there trying to grow cats.
Yeah, they're doing their best. They're trying to feel sorry for the cat.
And it's like they know and they would love to reduce, and then there's URI and cats, because if they don't eat, they get sick, and nutrition and all of that. So I'm saying... We need a healthy approach. This discussion has been going around and around and around, and then I'm thinking, okay, 300,000 cats in that world, if you had that much time and all you could do is come out with a limp ad in the newspaper or through letters to the editor and a standoffish us and them mindset, nothing will ever get done. And you're right. Those concerns you raise is right on. Because flies landing on fecal matter of any kind, human beings or dogs or cats, is a problem.
Yep.
Okay.
I know personally 20 people have gotten sterilized.
Well, we need to get moving, but again, it ain't going to happen because we can say boogeyman in the bushes, but I'm laying out to you what the reality is.
Okay.
Okay, brother.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Caller. Thank you for waiting, caller. Go ahead with your comment or question.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, Carol.
Yeah, good morning.
Good morning, sir. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Yeah, I was listening to the earlier part of you talking about the problem of sewage treatment and stuff, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
We seem to be focusing on the wrong, a target, regular. You got the 5-ring, 6-ring, 7, 8, 9, and the bullseye, yeah? We hit all around 5, 6, 7, yeah?
Right.
8. Some of us even lucky enough to hit a 9. But we never hit the bullseye, yeah? We spend too much time trying to address the effluent when we should be addressing the affluent.
Mm-hmm.
The ones who cause the problems.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It isn't Kukai flowing in the pipes to be treated. It's Kukai walking around in City Hall, in the state capitol.
What color shirt they're wearing?
Excuse me?
What color shirt they're wearing? Paraka?
No, I don't have a... No, I don't have a... I got a plug on underwear.
Okay. No, I mean, you know, the mayor, he's always up in his...
Sure. He got that from Hawaii. Plug of power.
Yeah?
Yeah. But anyway, I think basically what we should do is we should try to get removed people that are causing us these problems and make sure that they never serve another term.
Mm-hmm.
In all prisons, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I'm going to go after.
And I applaud you for that. And I've been going after...
I know you have a lot of irons in the fires.
Well,
and we need them.
Well, the reason I come forward with what I have is to try and educate people so that they can have something. You know, the H-Power, when you hear H-Power, man, I mean, it's a jewel if you listen to how they present it. Oh, it generates electricity.
Certainly.
Really? Well, then, like you say, let's send that guy on down the road with just tell him, we don't want you in office anymore because you're shielding and you're contaminating the whole thing. But this is prevailing all over the state and city government, what you're saying. We need to remind those that make these decisions, we don't want them anymore. You look at this morning's paper, remember months and months and years I've been talking about the Department of Hawaii and Homeland, saying that it's the worst thing there is for Hawaiians, along with OHA, and $55 million disclosed, and then another $18 million. Well, here's the problem. It's the people that are sitting there that were appointed by the affluent.
Right.
The Masagatanis, the Islas, and the Youngs, and all those guys. So when I see them, I have a hard time understanding that why they over here, they're passionate about something, and they'll throw themselves on the sword on that. But when it comes to stealing from the native people, they don't say a damn thing.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? Yeah. Nothing. So the affluent or the influenced?
Yeah.
All of it. I don't know, brother, but it's hit me below the belts or wherever, but I've said it and I've said it again. There is no way they are upset about Waianae and the people living out there, but nobody's upset about the $55 million that could have been used. Nobody's upset about the he. You understand that they're not coming out. They say, though, it's the guy from the mainland who schools us, you know.
Yeah, well, they got another alternative now with NextEra trying to bail everything out, yeah.
Yeah, bail out. You know what that's going to happen. Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, they got a bail out. The people shut up, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
You know. Okay, brother.
Thank you. Aloha. There's a caller trying to call in, and for some reason this, but try to give me one more chance here. Give me a call back in. Anyway, on the cat issue, folks, I'm just trying to point out a few good things, and that is, if you in fact don't talk about toxoplasmosis coming from the fecal matter of human beings and going into the waters, and now discharge of sewage along the coast, they talk about the sea otter, who was impacted, and some died because they found toxoplasmosis. Let's get away from this fight part of this game and come down to the solution. What is it that you're going to do? Now the cat's out of the bag on this, and you were bold enough to come and talk and have your cousins and uncles to write a letter to the editor. It didn't change anything. It just shows how coward you are and how ignorant you are as so-called professionals. Take the issue head on. Deal with the human beings that are involved in this and quit demonizing the people that feed cats and thinking you're a genius when you really got your head up your butt. Caller, go ahead with your comment. Hello?
Hey, Carol.
Yes.
This is Dr. Jill.
Hey. Aloha.
Yeah, so I'm a veterinarian, and I just wanted to say something about that whole toxoplasmosis issue and put it into perspective. Because, first of all, 80% of the people are already immune to toxoplasmosis. And when they got it, it was nothing more than a cold or a fever. They knew they weren't feeling well. Their body fought it off. And they're not going to get toxoplasmosis again. Now, it's very dangerous if a woman is pregnant. And she has to go to whether there's cats there or not. Precautions, because of the fact that, you know, if her unborn child is susceptible. People with AIDS are susceptible. And but toxoplasmosis is ubiquitous in the environment. That means cats or not, it's going to be there.
Right.
And so when people are acting like, you know, every single person that gets in contact with doo-doo is going to get this horrible sickness and die, and that's just not the, that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, things that are getting pinned on the cat a lot of times is unfair.
Yeah, and we hear these issues pop up from the same sources. The Humane Society goes in and have a silent meeting with the Nature Conservancy, former president, now DLNR head, and kill, kill, kill. And they know that what's going to happen is that the alien species function is one of those that give them millions, and the best thing they can come up with is how excited they are about a guy flying in a helicopter shooting paintballs on Myconia. But the reality is they have to resort back to the sleazy approach, backdooring with, oh, the cats are giving off toxoplasmosis in their waste. And their own chart, Dr. Jill, shows them where pigs are contributors or hosts to toxoplasmosis. Human beings, birds, right? Where do they go to the bathroom? So, you know, it was a matter of scare tactics to try and basically generate millions of dollars, because they're never going to address the problem. They won't even bother to go out and embrace a cat caregiver. It's always that person's coming out of pocket with money. I know that you volunteer in the neuter and medicating with your free time and medication, right?
Yeah, I'm doing a lot of feral work.
Yeah, and I mean, we can adopt
cats. Because it's so important. I mean, I've seen colonies go from nuts to a stable colony and a healthy colony and no more suffering, and all they have to do is do trap, neuter, release management.
Yeah, I would witness just, let's say, around the city hall, the state capitol, there were a number of cats. I mean, at least 30, 40 cats at one time. I witnessed personally over the years one person with a couple of assistants reduce that population to now five.
And those cats are getting older, and
they're not being replaced.
Not having babies.
Right.
And they're probably killing the rats, and I doubt if there's any native birds. They're probably killing doves now and then, but and most of these cats are not doing very much prey. They usually like their crunchies, and, you know, they sleep all day, and then at night they're out about, you know, like cats. They're night animals, and they're not the you know, cause, or the cause of those native animals, you know. It's their environment, and, you know, you don't think about that. We just think about, you know, poor animals that are innocent, really.
Well, think about this. What perturbs me about this whole process and the sneaky, sleazy tactics on the part of the so-called scientists and the Humane Society and all those that are involved and participate in getting out this word, and they're strange, they show up in these commercials and these comments and whatever, but the reality is we're seeing development here, there, everywhere. And what about the fight on that? If you're really motivated to protect the animals, the native species, no, you won't even speak out. You'll see a development proposed and you won't say anything.
Right, their habitat is the main cause.
Right.
The cats are insignificant.
Yeah, they build, for example, over at DLNR office on Kalani Moku, they had this native plant garden. They spent and had TV stories about it and how it was going. What are you really doing in the wild? What are you doing to say to the military? You know, maybe you might want to refrain from allowing people to have a cat, because when they leave in 2 years, where does Fluffy go if they don't transport it back? I mean, let's just not say, what about a boy and a girl who lives together and they decide to go their separate ways and they ain't military? What happens to Fluffy? You know, so the so-called scientists, they don't tell you, as I pointed out, that they will lie to you at Malai Kahana, for example, in that area. They said that a baby monk seal was born steel, when in fact the veterinarian that did the necropsy and all said, nope, there was a bulbous, it had ingested sand in its lung. So in order to get that, the animal was breathing. They don't want to tell you about RIMPAC and its impact. They want to lie and cheat and generate monies. And I'm going to hold them accountable and say, no, I don't want cats in the wild. But the reality is, they're here. And we can manage them sensibly and reduce their populations humanely. But this nonsense about all this, unfortunately, and that gives us suggested what this thing is about. I'm on the cat people side. How about it? I'm trying to be level-headed and say that I've seen all aspects of it. I personally adopted 4 from the wild because I didn't want. And what is that? That's not even a drop in the bucket, is it, Dr. Jill?
Well, most people who have cats, they love it just as much as their dogs.
Yeah.
Dogs spread disease. Well, if dogs have pinworms and little kids get blind from it, why don't they, you know, start making a big deal about dogs? Because people are more passionate about dogs. But the fact is that you can't say that dogs are better than cats.
Yeah. Well, I'm a bit
of... I love dogs and cats.
I'm a bit annoyed when I see this tactic of... and it's one of the sleaziest tactics, because if it's really... and a concern of yours, and as a scientific concern, and the depletion and of the number of native species and what have you, and the injuries to people and the disease that it's presenting, then we should have a healthy approach rather than this sneaky lobbing in of having your uncle to write a letter to the editor saying, regurgitating the same sputum that we've heard over and over and over. But when it comes to asking you, well, how did that monk seal die at White Plains Beach where she was pregnant, she lost her baby, and then she subsequently died because you bounced her around in a pickup truck while she was pregnant? Oh, we don't want to talk about that right now. You know, so you have no credibility, Noah, any of you that want to go out there and start advocating killing. And the reality is, you're not going to kill anything. You're never going to step up to the plate because you know it's not possible. And you know, as agencies, you don't have the guts to do it because you're in the motivation. Because all that you want to do is have mom and dad and the taxpayers send more money and federal grants so that you can play your game. That's all it is. It's nothing, in my opinion and observation. There's a serious problem. Private citizens are out there doing what government should be doing, trying to manage, and all they get is rocks thrown at them or threats by the police going to arrest them, or they, you know, it's a hard thing to watch.
Yeah.
And there's supposedly level-headed people on the other side that's watching this, and they went out and... You know the West Side population that was in the recent, they did a story, said that number have exploded?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, and I just had to ask myself, you know, it's funny. If they genuinely had a concern, why would you watch the population increase and you don't do anything? You understand? If you were there in the beginning to know that you have to have known how many were there before, and now all of a sudden you're proclaiming that they've increased in numbers and exploding. It's like, well, at some point you had to start somewhere. What did you do to reduce that population? What actions did you take? Nothing. They want money. That's the game. This alien species thing is they want money and to hire the kids from the mainland and come over here and get involved and do nothing and want more money. It can take a concerted effort on everybody's part, the Humane Society, NOAA, and all. And isn't it funny, they don't object to, let's say, H-Power or the Sand Island. Do you see NOAA having any comment or action about the impacts of sewage water possibly contaminated from human beings of toxoplasmosis? Do you ever hear them complaining? No, they wait until the surf rider or private organization file a lawsuit. They never come in and do anything, do they? I haven't heard anything. But they're advocating killing cats. So I say that's a zero for me. But anyway, thank you.
Appreciate it.
Aloha.
Take care.
Aloha. So, folks, you might take issue with what I'm saying, but if you stand back, I've been watching this now, and it's the same tactics. It's the same, and it's sleazy tactics, because there's a real issue. Nobody is out there going at nighttime and feeding and trapping so that they, and I said this earlier, so that they can claim, oh, I have a farm of cats. I have a collection of cats. I got a brown one, I got calico, I got, gray and a Russian gray and a Russian blue, and I just have a great collection of cats. See, that's an insult. And the people that I know are genuinely concerned. You have to pay to get them processed. It costs you time. It costs you money. Let me just give you an example of participating in the existing program that seemed to be the alarmists, the people from those programs that we rely on. So I personally have my own trap. So I go down and I trap it. If I take it to the Humane Society, I have to transport it myself, and I live middle line, depending on where we trapped a cat. I have to leave that cat there and then return back the next day. Now, I'm not getting paid for this, okay? And in turn, I go down and pick it up, and I got to pay a fee. It varies at various times. I got to pay a fee to have it tag or microchip, then I got to go back and transport it. Now, if I want to put it on and leave it there for adoption, I'm going to be charged to leave it for adoption. What citizen is obligated to do that? These are the people, and that's just a portion of it. Then you go back and you it's put in the cat house, and you see there's very few cats, and then whatever, just all kinds of conflicts. And so now I have spent maybe 3-4 days for one cat. You have that kind of time? But believe it or not, there are people out there that are actually doing that, spending their own money, their own time, and all they get is, well, you know, when a fly lands on a piece of poop and it brings on, well, step back. Did any of that, these people that were bitching and moaning about the cats and the diseases, did you try to throw Laura Kahakina on a pile of logs, burning logs, because she stood there and lied to you that she only pumped out 100,000 gallons of sewage treated water that contaminated the beaches, and then she didn't even post signs, and the city and state didn't post signs, and it ran through the parks and all? Where were you then if you're worried about and motivated about sicknesses and illnesses? I'm not just focusing on the cats. I'm saying the system is broken. Who do we rely on? Who? Just who do we rely on? I can't tell you, but I can tell you one thing. We have a problem. And it ain't going to get fixed by people, scientists sitting around lying and contriving and having their uncles write letters to the editor. And it's not going to help if the news stations and all find these stories, do them, and they're half-cooked. Because it does not take into account what is really going on. You go to Hawaii Kai, the population has increased. Now, you can't capture them all and neuter them. But what if there was a program that would go out and routinely take money? What about programs of sterilizing, being more aggressive? But, you know, the City and County of Honolulu also captured chickens. 700, I think, last year or this year. And so that you know now, chickens are also very, very important in this game because they do host toxoplasmosa. That is why they encourage us to not eat raw chicken or undercooked chicken. So when a chicken goes in the woods and the rain washes it down, what happens? So when a human being eats a chicken and defecates and in the toilet and what have you, and it washes out in the sewage treatment plant, what happens? And along comes a monk seal and ingests a fish that just ate the nice piece of, you know, what, floating? You tell me, where's the solution? I think the solution is, and what we need is responsible government. Quit lying. Well, if you're really concerned about the protection and the well-being of the monk seal and other cetaceans and pinnipeds and all of those and birds, then be real. Be honest. Be iron-fisted about all of these issues. The impact of sonar on monk seals, the impact of on whales, the impacts of boats, the impacts of cargo ships, the impacts of jet skis. You know, don't stand back and see Malama, the bay out there, grow and a thousand people recreating and moving through and all of that, and then you turn around and say, but you know, it's the cats. We need to go control them. Have some balls and stand up and fight across the board all of these environmental factors that contribute to the decay and the degradation of the environment. Let's talk like that. You're not going to do it because you'll lose your job, because that'll take you from all this fancy being able to go here and there and on the islands on the government's dollar, on the people's dollar. So don't come to us, not here, to lie to us about what cats are. I'm trying my little bit, and I feel like I'm spitting in the wind. And I see other people spending their money. I don't have the money, but they're spending big bucks. And all they get for it is that, well, you know, the population is exploding and toxoplasmosa is killing the monk seals. And I understand, how many monk seals have this Noah killed just in the handling of them? Not to talk about toxoplasmosa. How many? They won't tell you because they're liars and cheats. And they sit there and they want funding and they want money so that they can fund these little games that they have with all these kids from the mainland and come over here and do their thing. They're never going to solve this problem with that kind of approach. It's an us and them. And that's what we got to focus on. It's unfortunate. It's a sad thing what the cats face. But, you know, that's the way it is. It has to be. We have to do something better. You know? And that's going to be it for me. And hopefully we all have a good holiday season here, and we're going to be talking to you later.
has been the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sundays at 9 a.m. on K108. Tune in again next week, Sunday at 9 a.m. to the Carol Cox Show on 1080 a.m. KWAI Honolulu.